It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cuff, in the cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and Twin City Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. On today's show, our sacred animal section of the show, Wendy Pilot will be talking about how money got in the way of important wolf research. In the studio, and our studio guest today is MN350's Marie, how do we say your last name?
Bolio.
That would be Nancy Marie Bolio.
Nancy Marie Bolio. That's right. Nancy, fancy Nancy. MN350 Bemidji, and we're going to be updating on the Block Line 3 party at the PUC, the Public Utilities Commission, and we're going to speak your truth on Line 3. And then we're going to end our show in a very popular segment, which we like to call, well, What Does My Elder Think? We'll be asking my elder, Curtis, on his spin on local, national, Native, and Ho-Chunk news. We are pre-America. We're the descendants of the people you couldn't kill off. For each show, we discuss on Native Roots Radio what is important to us. We talk about our sacred animals, Native lands, and how the natural resources are in danger. We speak against pipelines that are going through our Native and treaty lands. We put tobacco out for our relatives who are suffering from alcohol and the drug problem. We support all language warriors that are preserving our language and way of life. We pray for our relatives that have gone through the Indian residential schools. Many would pass the trauma down, kill the Indian, save the man. For our missing and murdered Native women, you are not forgotten. My blood is as ancient as this earth I stand upon. I pre-exist America. This show is dedicated to all those who give back and fight back for our people. We are the resistance. We are awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl!
Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years. She is a volunteer Minnesota State Council member for the Humane Society of the United States, and she works on animal issues at the state level. Tell us your name, please, Wendy.
Hello, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani, which means cares for them, and I was given that name by my Dega, Curtis, here. And thank you, as always. So I found this article, and it was from the Washington State University, Associated Press, and it's dated May 15th, 2018, so it's pretty recent. The name of the article is, "A Researcher Resigns from Washington State University After Wolf Study Angers Ranchers." Pullum, Washington, a controversial wolf researcher, will accept a $300,000 settlement to leave Washington State University, the school said. Robert Wilgus, director of the Conivore Conservation Lab, sued the Pullum School for infringement of his academic freedom. Wilgus angered ranchers with his research of wolf behavior. He conducted state's policy of killing wolves that preyed on cattle was likely to increase cattle predation because it destabilized the structure of wolf packs. And here we go.
Hey, Wendy, I just had a brain fart. I remember Joe Wolf from Howling for Wolves talking about this on our show.
You know, Joe Wolf was on the show not too long ago, and he did talk about this very thing.
What did his research find, Wendy?
Well, I wasn't surprised by the outcome of the research. Wilgus's research included statistics from Montana livestock management programs where he showed that for each wolf killed for preying on cattle, livestock attacks followed the following year went up 5%. So for each wolf that was killed for preying on cattle, livestock attacks the following year went up 5%. And that pattern held until the last, at least a quarter of a local wolf population was killed. In addition, a rancher a pressure on wolf packs also increased the probability that more than one breeding pair would start having cubs. Wilgus was also involved in a two-year study in Washington that found non-lethal control, such as range-riding cowboys, prompt removal of carcasses, and portable fencing, had more effective reduction in livestock losses than killing the wolves did. And I kind of like the idea of a range-riding cowboy. It kind of sounds nostalgic to me. But the ranchers...
Sounds like target practice to me.
They were just riding around to kind of deter the wolves in a non-lethal way.
Thank you. Non-lethal. I lost my mind for a second.
But the ranchers complained to the Washington State Legislature, which cut Wilgus's funding and demanded he be removed as principal investigator on his ongoing work. Wilgus then filed a lawsuit alleging the university punished him to placate politicians beholden to ranchers. The Seattle Times reported the Washington State University administrators became worried about the dispute and it would hurt chances for them getting funded for their new medical school. So there you go. It's always, always about the money and not about what's right.
Uh-huh.
And here's a quote. If wolves continue to go poorly, there won't be a new medical school. Dan Coyne, lobbyist for the Washington State University, wrote to another Washington State lobbyist, according to emails obtained by the newspaper through public information request. So there you go. It's all about the money, and they wanted the money for the medical school, and they were afraid that the ranchers were going to go out and tell people not to give money to the school because they want the wolves killed. The settlement will be paid from the state university's liability account. And a lawsuit was filed with the assistance of PEER, P-E-E-R, or Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. Jeff Rush, executive director of PEER, said the case showed that Washington had politicized its wolf policy. And here's another quote. Rob published, which is the Rob Wilgus who we've been talking about, Rob published in very prestigious journals, and you would think they would be proud of him and have his back. But Rush said of the Washington State University administrators, instead they had a knife in his back. The university issued statement. Washington State University and Rob Wilgus have reached an agreement under which Dr. Wilgus will resign at the end of the spring of 2018 semester and release all claims and employment rights in exchange for two payments totaling $300,000, which funds come from the state, the university said. In reaching this agreement, neither party acknowledges any wrongdoing. Both parties view this as an opportunity to sever the employment relationships on mutually acceptable terms while resolving disputed legal claims. While Wilgus research indicated wolf kills of cattle are rare, the return of the gray wolf to Washington this century has been met with fierce resistance by some ranchers. Washington has about 120 known wolves in 22 packs, mostly in the northeastern corner of the state. The state has engaged in killing of problem wolves, which has outraged conservation groups.
You know, Wendy, it sounds like the ranchers have the last word.
Well, the ranchers always have the last word. You know, they have the pull. They have the money. They have the they have the lobbying power. And even though all this research that, you know, Robert Wilgus did, proving that non-lethal ways were better to manage these wolves, because the ranchers have so much lobbying power, you know, that's who he lost, really, even though he's, you know, what's $300,000 going to get him? You know, the organizations like the Safari Club, the NRA, these are the organizations that are making the laws and killing off wolves. So it's really sad that this had to happen, you know. They're the ones that make the rules, not conclusions of research, which should have been making the rules.
Right.
So it's really sad. And we're having the same problem here in Minnesota. So, you know, we have a wonderful wolf population, and people are able to kill them off. So we need to keep the wolf packs intact, and in doing so, less animals will be killed. Less cattle will be killed.
So. Sounds like the same people that are controlling what's happening in our schools violently are also dealing with our sacred wolf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Well, thank you, Robert, for letting me pass that
Peeny Gigi, for all you do, Wendy. And thank you for sharing this important message. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. We'll be right back after a short break with our MN350 Bemidji guest, Nancy Marie.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Meg Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Mag Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour of free service.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. 6 unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the 6 locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin. Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yes, they are. And last night we were, and today there's things going on too, but last night we were there for a big rally and then they were camping overnight. And the major support of MN350 and all the other groups makes my heart sing. Hey, I want to welcome to our studio our guest from MN350, so happens, MN3 Bemidji, and it's Nancy Beaulieu. Welcome and tell us your truth.
Well, thanks for having me. My name is Nancy Beaulieu, and I'm a citizen of the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe, and I like to refer to ourselves as citizens to remind mainstream America we are citizens. We're dual citizens of the United States, and we'd like to make a stand on our treaty rights and make sure that our rights and our way of life are protected. So we are citizens, and we do vote, and we are partaking in more of the political scenes as we learn to educate ourselves.
Oh, you know, and there's, can you just tell us just a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to get into a couple issues here.
Sure. Again, I'm a citizen of Leech Lake. I took a year off from my LPN studies to stop line three. Mm-hmm. I have a education in management and metalsmithing. I'm an artist. I'm a caretaker of Mother Earth, and I walk with a good heart along with many of my allies in regards to No Line 3.
And you know, you're a veteran of Standing Rock.
Sure. I've spent...
As we all are here.
Yeah. Standing Rock opened my eyes. My heart grew. I was taught a lot of things that the assimilation took from me, and I'm finding that I belong to the earth. The wind blows through my hair, and the water is my life. So it was awakening for me, because I honestly didn't understand where I came from and the struggles that were ours until we had to face the government. And we knew all along that for the past 500 years or so that there's not a whole lot of people on our side. But we are finding our allies through this movement. We all know that NEBI water is part of who we are, and we are making a stand, and we're growing on this movement. And the best part about everything is we are finding non-Native allies that understand who we are, and they are joining forces with us. And so there are rainbow relatives.
So do you want to just talk about what excitement happened last night?
Oh, okay. Yeah, so we decided that it was time to make a little noise, a good noise, down at the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission. They are going to decide here later next month whether or not we're going to replace that line three. So we decided that we need a little good noise to let them know that we're watching, and that many Minnesotans are disapprove of the line. We have over 60,000 people that say no. Mm-hmm. We have five tribes that say no. Mm. We have many nonprofit organizations that say no as well. Mm. And then we have 20,000 or less people that say they want that. So I think it's time for the PUC to start, you know, safeguarding our waters and protecting our people.
Well, I know in the last segment we talked about following the money. And one of the things I have to ask you about the replacement portion. Now, I know we've talked about this in the past, and they weren't replacing that pipeline. They were putting in another one and saying that we're replacing it, and they were keeping the old leaky one, and they could even put oil into the old leaky one, so they were doubling it. Has that changed?
What has the judges actually recommended was to, you know, replace the existing line three, but we're not going to do that. Leech Lake is strongly opposing that, and we do actually have a resolution, and in one of our whereas, we have this term. It's a strong term. It's called conflict.
Mm.
And when we say conflict, we mean opposition, and we're not sure exactly as a tribe, Leech Lake, where that's going to take us yet. And our tribal leaders are currently working on a strategy, and at as of last Friday, it's something that's kind of not shared with everybody yet, but Leech Lake is gearing up and getting ready to totally resist Line 3. They are not going to have it. We don't want it. We don't want no Line 3 period. We don't want it for us. We don't want it for you. We don't want it for anybody. We don't want it for our animal brothers. We don't want it for the trees, the animals. And we've got to take a look at what happened in Superior.
Mm.
You know, now we got people that can't garden 30 miles this way, 5 miles that way. So now they get to farm and take their, you know, the solution. They have a solution. But what about our four-legged creatures? Ooh. You know, the animal life that we left behind. Who's going to take care of that? So this is why we need to be aware.
Let's remind everyone what happened a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, we had a refinery, had a fire, and actually we got to continue prayer, you know, that there's healing for the environment and that continued safety, because there was that fluoride hydrogen tank. They had to keep that thing sprayed for hours and hours on end. That thing would have exploded. About 180,000 people would have died.
Mm.
So that oil refinery is, I think, from the 60s. It was an aging oil refinery, and they were actually shutting down parts to replace it, and then when the fire broke out. So along with Enbridge and these places, they worked together. Tar sands fueled that fire.
Mm.
And, you know, a lot of people, they were awake when it happened. There was many concerns, and we got to continue those concerns. We got to continue to be educated, and we got to follow up with these things, and we got to continue to make phone calls and attend meetings and make that good noise that I talked about. Just like yesterday when we got together, it was good noise. Uh-huh. It was also rejuvenating because we had live music. We had a kiddies table. There was T-shirts that were being made, and it was a good day of just saying, you know what, we're good people, and we stand in a good way, and we come in a good way, and that's what we proved yesterday.
Oh, I got a nice jean jacket, too.
Yeah. It's me, Robert.
Oh, hey, hey.
Nancy, you know, we're on Facebook right now, and we know we have quite a few people watching us right now live on Facebook, but if you could just turn your chair a little bit and just say hi to the camera for people, and then maybe kind of just sit a little bit so people are able to see you. So everybody get on our Facebook page.
Hi, Nancy.
Yeah. And I guess, too, one of the things, was that a Koch brother refinery? I don't remember
I think
if
it was
I read
a Canadian-owned refinery.
Husky.
Yeah, Husky.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, that's
it wasn't
right.
The Koch brothers. That's right.
So one thing I know when it comes to Leech Lake and in the distance, it's a lot closer than Standing Rock was. So there may be a lot of help here, because I know a lot of people from the Twin Cities went to Standing Rock.
Sure. That's our goal with Bemidji 350. It's a local chapter of Minnesota 350 in Bemidji, Minnesota. So it's our goal, along with like Northwoods 350 and some other coalitions that are coming along, you know, as chapters recognized under org 350. And we're building on that movement. And so we're asking our allies to take part in that greater Minnesota movement, because this is going to be a big fight.
Hey, and you know it is. Just tell everyone in here in the last 30 seconds what 350 means.
350 stands for the carbon parts per million. So when we're at 350 or less, we're a healthy planet. And when we're at 350 or more, we are breathing bad air. So currently we stand at 411 parts per million, and we need to reduce our carbon footprints individually. So we refer to cars and heating our houses, but every day we have to think about what we don't need to waste and what we don't need to use. So we need the three R's: refuse, reduce, recycle, and reduce. I might have missed an R, but hey.
Hey, we'll talk about that during the break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back with MN350's Bemidji Nancy Bolio.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
While I'm pregnant, I can keep our baby safe by not drinking, smoking, or using drugs. But how are we going to keep her safe after she's born?
When I grow up, I look forward to dancing in powwows, going to college, and being successful. But I don't want to be one of three American Indian women to be raped or sexually assaulted in her lifetime.
As relatives and friends of Native women, it is our responsibility to stand up and speak out for every woman's right to be safe in her home and the community.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Daddy, Daddy, what is Solar Bear doing?
Solar Bear is putting solar panels on top of that home.
Well, why is he doing that, Daddy?
He's trying to save his home. Because of global warming, his home is melting.
Daddy, can we help Solar Bear?
Yes, we can. And so can you. Call for your free estimate, 612-669-1165. And for more information, visit SolarBearMN.com. Solar Bear is Native owned.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be sunny and hot with a high near 95. Tonight, clear with a low around 67. Sunday, sunny and hot with a high near 97. And Sunday night, a low around 70. Memorial Day will be clear with a high of 94 and a low around 70. The Bad Waitress at 700 Central in Northeast Minneapolis is a bit more grown up than its sister on Nicollet. Offering free parking in the back, this finer diner vibe has a full bar serving craft cocktails and a brand new inventive dinner menu including the Chicken Did Waffle. Check out the full menu at thebadwaitress.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Bean Factory. Just Steve's, a Native-owned coffee shop on 1518 Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. They roast beans on site a day at a time. And today they're having an art fair at the coffee shop, and it's going on till 7 o'clock tonight, and I think everyone should head on out to 1518 Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. And Robert, please let us not forget, we are out of our Bohemian Blend coffee, and we need to pick up some today when we are there after
Hurry.
The show.
Wait, I'm still trying to say Bolio, and you're asking me to remember that? Okay. All right, I'll make a note of it. Pini Gigi for being in here, Nancy. Nancy Bolio of MN350 Bemidji. We were talking a little bit about the break, and I just want to let you go, and then I'm going to raise my hand if I have a question. So what do you want to talk about, the engagement of our Native people voting?
Yeah, I feel, you know, there was a while back I heard this quote that if you're not at the table, you are what's being served.
Mm.
And I guess as I got involved with learning about precinct caucuses and how the legislative mm-hmm. system works, I felt it was time that we engage ourselves,
mm-hmm.
because I feel that part of our environmental injustice is us not being at the table. They're passing bills, they're rubbing elbows with oil companies, you know, these representatives, and they're writing these bills to circumvent some of our, you know, like the PUC, the process that we have for allowing these pipelines to go through. But we have...
Not to mention, they're grabbing maybe one random Native and saying they speak for a whole nation. That happens a lot.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because we have Enbridge in their commercials always saying they work with the Native communities. We care about the Native American communities. So most importantly, what we want to know, if we have these representatives trying to pass these bills to give the green light, circumventing the Minnesota PUC process, is that showing regard for our Native American communities? Because first and foremost, we don't even have a cultural EIS included in any part of the Enbridge.
Tell everyone what the EIS is.
So what we as a Native American community are trying to show the impact that an oil pipeline can do to our communities in regards to environmental justice. So we have pipelines that leak, you know, and then we are a minority population. So we'll take a look at Standing Rock. Bismarck said no.
Mm-hmm.
A non-Native community said no. They had their right. They had their voice, and they said no. So, let's go up the road. Let's go to Standing Rock. These are Natives. We don't honor their treaties, so it's okay. Let's just go and shove that pipeline through their tribe. But you know what? We're still here, and those treaty rights do matter.
Mm-hmm.
We're citizens, and we have a right to vote, and we pay our taxes, and we walk with good hearts. And we've been stigmatized because we protect Mother Earth. We've been stigmatized as Native American activists, and that's not who we are. We're protectors. We're guardians. And we protect our way of life and our culture, so we walk in a good way always.
One of the things I always bring up when it's time is that we wouldn't have this radio show if it wasn't for Standing Rock, and we wouldn't have this radio show if the pipeline would have went through Bismarck originally. And so, Pini Gigi for bringing that up again. We're water protectors and come with a prayerful, peaceful thoughts and minds, and I witnessed that. And then the propaganda that's coming out with how aggressive Indians are. And, I mean, it's the same thing we've been hearing since the 1980s with the uranium. I mean, you look at that, look at video from there, and it looks like Standing Rock.
Mm.
Nothing's changed because nothing's changed. But we have activists, and we have social media. We have radio, TV, people that are educated.
Yeah. And, I think it's important that we learn how the politics work. We can make phone calls, we can send emails. You know, we don't ask everyone to be on a front line and, you know, put themselves in harm's way. You can, you know, talk to your neighbor, you could talk to family, you can educate people, you can make those phone calls that I mentioned earlier. But being a part of your local precinct caucus is mm-hmm. where it all starts, and uh-huh. we forget that every day. You know, you can write resolutions there, and we wrote one on treaty rights to bring our treaties back on the table, and we hope that they're on a state slate here mm-hmm. next month down in Rochester. So we're educating ourselves when we feel that maybe we put ourselves a little bit too late in the game this year, because we just learned just recently how to play this game, some of us. So we're going to be better in 2020.
Right, and my knee won't be bad because normally we both are caucusing for the Democratic Party.
Yeah, I think I even once presented a resolution for the Humane Society of the United States at a caucus, so I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
We all do need have to get power. Involved and, and to do that. It really makes a big difference.
And it starts in the local, for sure. We can make a difference locally because phone calls matter.
Yeah, and I wanted to touch base on local, too. And when we're talking about earlier about being Native American activists, in our hometown back in Bemidji, we're surrounded by three tribes, and that would be White Earth, Red Lake, and Leech Lake. So we have a lot of spending power. We have voting power. We're a big part of the economy there and what happens around there. But when it comes to dialogue, our tribes are left out of that important dialogue, and our community, our town, our city council members, our county commissioners, they need to be reminded that they're on ceded territory and that that we are a fabric of that community. Those are our homelands, and we're going to do everything to protect it. But currently, right now, what they have done is they already have a mutual aid agreement with various counties because they don't want another Standing Rock.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been labeled by our BSU sustainability director, you know, with a letter to the editor that we were Native American activists. She agreed to this mutual aid agreement because they needed to protect property and people. And, You know, that was insulting to us as a coalition, to our people, to our, even our non-Native allies were insulted by that term, you know, because it was stigmatized and it painted us in a corner. So I had to write a counter act letter and explain who we are and who we aren't. So I had an opportunity last Tuesday to attend the county commissioners meeting. So I brought the Leech Lake resolution that says, no, we don't want your line three. And I also brought our letter that we wrote for the newspaper to explain who we aren't, who we are and who we aren't, and remind them that they were politicians working for the community, not some private oil company. And that same with our law enforcement, that, you know. And I pointed out to Reed Olson, he is the commissioner. I said, Reed, you were at Standing Rock with me. You've seen what the police can be turned into. They're mercenaries for oil companies. We cannot have that. These are tax dollars that the community pays into. And I can guarantee you a majority of this community does not want these pipelines. And you're taking their money and you're paying for security for a private oil company. And I'm going to tell you today, we're not going to let that happen. Of course, we don't want another Standing Rock, and that's how we're going to avoid it, if we don't let that happen. Uh-huh. It's on you guys, not us.
Right. And that reminds me, too, and I hate to break in with this commercial, but we need to get rid of that Indian fighter, Stenick. He brought in 44. So there's Mark Dave Hutchinson that's running against him, Hutch. And I just wanted to throw that commercial in there because he's an Indian fighter.
Stanek. Yes.
Uh-huh. So let's talk a little bit. We got about 5 minutes, 4 minutes with you. What do these camps bring to the community?
Well, certainly they don't bring us long-lasting jobs that they promise us. They always, you know, say, oh, these bring jobs to the community.
Right.
Well, they're for what? 3 to 6 months. Enbridge, they move fast. Those pipelines go down like no other because they got to make money. They don't make money till that oil flows. So these are temporary jobs. And when these man camps come to these communities, they don't realize that these pipeline workers like to go out and they like to let their hair down, you know, and relax. They have drinks. They actually do drugs. They're everyday people. And they get dangerous when they're under the influence. They come into our communities, they frequent our establishments, and, you know, our people have a right to frequent establishments and leave safe, you know. They go there thinking, you know, I'm in my hometown, I'm safe, I know my people here, and then we get these strangers that come into town that they don't have a connection to our community. There's nothing there for them. It's just a job, and we're just people that they see along the way. So when they come to town, they have too much fun and they start victimizing our people. So then we end up with missing and murdered Indigenous women along with our children and our boys, you know. It's just not our women that go gone. So what we do is we try to share our story now that these man camps bring bad people to our communities. Not only are they raping our Mother Earth, they're also raping our women and children. And because we're a minority, they don't spend a whole lot of money looking for us. So then we become victims for these pipeliners because, oh, I can take her. No one's going to look for her. So we fall victim to their big profit gain. So what they see is profit over people. And mm-hmm. if they cared about our Native American communities, they wouldn't be putting their pipelines through our communities and allowing this injustice to our people and to our lands.
A major rationale in their mind. We're not here. We're not people. We're going through their land. Who cares?
Yeah. And if you took a look at their EIS, I remember giving testimony in Bemidji months ago, and I did read that EIS, and Enbridge blatantly said, yeah, there's treaty rights, but we don't need to pay attention to them because nobody has in the past. So when I gave my testimony, I reminded Enbridge, we're still here. And those treaty rights do matter. And you know what? You're talking about what happened in the past, but we got our treaty rights, and we're going to go forward with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we're going to do.
You know, I follow you on Facebook, and I think it's sometimes because Facebook, I know I have people like posts, like if I fall or something, people, all these people that never like anything of mine will like it. So all of a sudden I have like 400 or 500 likes. I'm going, I didn't even know this person was on there. So I want to remind you that there's a lot of people watching you and liking what you do. And it might not seem that way, but there are. there are many people following you, and you're consistent with your message, and you're consistent for our people, and I want to throw that out there as a thank you and a peeny gigi for what you're doing, because you are awake.
And I appreciate the support that I get from everybody, because I'll be honest, I couldn't do this alone. And, you know, back at home at the Bemidji 350, we had Jordan Morgan was the part-time employee, and he rounded us up, and then we felt that strength that we brought home from Standing Rock, and we built on that. So we are still burning our fire, and we intend to keep going, and we intend to keep telling Minnesotans, please make some good noise. You know, there's all kinds of nonprofits out there, not just Minnesota 350. We got Honor Sierra. The Earth with the Sierra Club. I could go on and on. Friends of the Headwaters, you know, just make sure you find yourself a nonprofit that would be good for you and show that support, because we got to start making a lot of noise, and we got to do it now. Later's too late. Nebe is life.
Peeny Gigi. You know, thank you again for being here. That was Nancy Bolio of MN350 Bemidji giving us her truth. And, you know, we'll be back after this short break with What Does My Elder Think? And again, Peeny Gigi.
Thanks for having me. No Line 3.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Genocide, lost language, rape, isolation, forced assimilation, colonization, assault, disease and torture, school, lost sexual family, abuse, relocation, lost customs, allotments, hate, reservation. Fear.
History has taken its toll on our families. Our fathers and grandfathers, our mothers, our grandmothers, they didn't deserve to be raped and abused. I don't deserve to be raped and abused. Today I walk with pride. I'm reclaiming my body, my heritage, and traditional customs that value all living things. I'm learning healthy boundaries, and I stand with Minnesota Indian women to end sexual violence. Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
Welcome Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Solar Bear, solar power from Minnesota, and also Ho-Chunk Nation, the people of the sacred voice.
Hey, I'm Ho-Chunk.
Oh, me too.
Welcome. I want to welcome my uncle here, my elder here, and his important section. Welcome, Uncle Curtis.
Oh, Pinagigi Chuska. I would like to say my name is Moshe Hanazinga. I walk on a white cloud, and I was gifted that name from my choka, my grandfather. Uh-huh. And I'd like to say hi to my baby girl out there. You know, I always got to say hi to her. You know, keep hi, my Kim. Queen happy. Hi, baby.
Hi,
and we say ha-ho to all our family and relatives and friends in four directions. You know, we pray all is well.
Yo.
And like I said, my Chuske gives me a couple minutes, so I'm going to hurry up and get my two cents in. But anyhow, man,
Indian
we like
pennies.
The ha-hook. And we like to give shout-outs, you know, them birthdays out there and, you know, messages and events and stuff like that. But the first one, it's heartfelt. You know, it's a little early, but I want to say happy birthday to my Chuske, Robert Pilot. He's going to be almost an elite elder really soon, but we're going to leave him slow down a little bit on that one. And I just want to say I love you, Chuske, and happy birthday on that one.
Pinigi, for all you do.
Hope. And anyway, there's another one. There's this little lady, JD. I know my daughter's listening. I want to say happy birthday to Nevaeh. You know, it's her birthday today. I'm not going to say, I don't say women's ages, so, but she's under 15, so I'm not going to say the other one, he's a good friend of ours here at Native Roots Radio. His name is Gary Rockner, and he owns Bunny's Bar and Grill in Northeast and in Minneapolis. So I'll give you a shout out. You owe me $100 on that little thing right there.
Make the check out to Native Roots Radio Presents.
Gary. we go with elders. You know, there's a couple elders a little bit older than me, so I got to give them shout outs. And the one that I'd like to say, you know, from the great state of Wisconsin, from the great Ho-Chunk Nation, our president, my choka, my grandfather, Willie Cleveland, is his birthday. You know,
our president.
Aho.
Our president of Ho-Chunk Nation.
Oh, and then my Dega over there in God's country in Wisconsin, too. I can't forget about him. His name's Rory Greengrass. So happy birthday, Dega. And the other one out there is Richard Snake and like that. And the other shout-out, you know, I really like that guy. His name was Thomas X. He's a native rapper up there out of Red Lake. And I want to say hello and... You promise that you're listening to us, so we're going to make sure you're listening.
We're going to get your music as a bumper here soon, as soon as I get it together.
And then, again, we got a shout-out to all the peoples that went down there to the function, the event for MN350 down there, downtown St. Paul, you know, down in Windy City. we liked it for everyone that come down and support, you know. And like I said, the ladies that are in studio with us, and we appreciate that. And the other one I can't forget about is my our brother, James Cross from Native Against Heroin, you know. So we give special shout-outs to them. And like
boots
that.
Boots on the ground. Boots on the ground.
Boots and moccasins and everything. Anyway, other thing, man, we'd like to say, you know, it's a sad note I heard today from my Chuske. Up there, out of Leech Lake, you know, I heard that a brother of ours, Harold Skip Finn, walked on. Oh. So we want to, you know, pass on condolences, heartfelt, you know, thoughts and prayers from us over here. So, but,
many firsts. Yeah. Yep. First, person to graduate the U of M and the Native American studies, many firsts.
And you know, we're giving a special shout out to our daughter Jamie. So we want like to say hello, and like I said, man, we feel bad. You know, your loss is our loss, and that's where we look at it. And the other ones we're gonna say another one. There's a brother of my brother. And he's down in Arizona, T.J. Begay. He walked on at a young age, you know, 38 years old. He's Makanooch man. And, you know, we feel bad that, you know, that's too young, you know. I just want
children.
Yeah, he's got kids and stuff like that. And the other one, we got one, this native brother, man. He's
a wrestler. His name is Austin Arrow. He's from Sisseton, Wahpeton, Sioux tribe up there. So, you know, keep doing what you do, you know, and don't put no moves on my Chusque Robert. You know,
I got that bad leg. Put me in the figure four leg lock. That's right, Jack.
And then again, we feel bad for all them students that got shot down there in Texas. You know, we feel bad. And, you know, nothing gets solved by a pistol, you know, and nothing. Mm. You know, love is all that matters to us, you know, and that's the way we look at it. And one more thing I'd like to say on events, you know, language classes, language is important to each and every one of us, you know, so. But on Tuesday at 5:30 is a beginner's class. And
Do they have food?
Thursday is the advanced class. And, yes, they have food if you want to bring a dish to share. Otherwise, bring your feed bag, Chushka.
Tega, I was wondering if this week you had a gaga for us.
I sure do. I sure do, Chushka. And gaga is grandma. You know, so
In
Ho-Chunk. But anyway, Grandma Gaga told me, measure your words. Your words are like an arrow shot out of a bow. You can't bring either back.
Good one. Good words, Gaga.
Always good gagas you bring to us.
One more thing I'd like to say. Happy birthday to my Chushke again. But, you know, I'm a man of few words, so I see my time is running out.
Well, it's funny. Hey, thank you, Pini Gigi, for the gifts prior to. And I know it's like the 12 days of Christmas. You're going to be giving me gifts every day.
I'm like Ellen. I'm 12 days of giving.
So I got like a minute here. I want Nancy to just give another quick little shout out.
All right. I'm just happy to be here and getting this opportunity to speak on behalf of our people and No Line 3. And I also wanted to ask that our people that are listening and share it out far and wide, that we need everyone to be awake and pay attention and join us. And there's movement, there's healing, there's friendships built, there's all kinds of good things that happen here. And you wouldn't know it until you come and join us. And you know what? You're going to love it. And I also want to ask you guys to send some prayers for our warrior sister, Nicole, who is struggling, so she needs a lot of prayers and strength.
Good last words, Pini Gigi. I would like to end with these thoughts. The ground on which we stand on is sacred ground, is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join in a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I've been your host, Robert Pilot. I am awake. The revolution is kicking in high gear. I'd like to thank our listening audience and our studio audience, Pini Gigi to Wendy Pilot, our guest Nancy Abolio, and everyone, our favorite uncle, Uncle Curtis. We are still here. We are the seventh generation.
We are awake.
And resilient.